Let me introduce you to the wonderful Anna Nikolashvili, who plays Clover in my production of Animal Farm here at the George Square Theatre and Assembly Festival, the Edinburgh Festival 2014.
So that's the plug for the show out of the way. Now we can do the interview. Thank you, Guy. Can you tell us the story of how this particular very unique production came about and why we're sitting here in Assembly in Scotland?
So that was the co-production of two Manishvili Film Actors Theatre, in which I'm employed too. I'm sorry for my English, but I try my best. There was an announcement that the famous British director is coming to make this epic drama, and according to the very famous book. And I thought of all of the characters, but not the Clover, to be honest. Because we've got the elderly people and elderly actresses there, and I thought probably the role is for them, not for the younger actresses like I am. So I never thought of this, and I was surprised when I was chosen to play Clover, which is quite important character for the play.
While we've got Guy here also, just I want a bit of backstory here, Guy. So from a cast of one to this new version, can you just build us a creative, maybe a commercial bridge there?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been reviewed for my Animal Farm Festival Fringe Review three times now, I think, and by three different reviewers, and they've loved it. And I think one of the things that has always emerged from those reviews and from generally through the 20 years I've been doing it is that this is actually a multi-cast solo play, and I always envisaged it as being a multi-cast play. So when the idea was raised last year when I was out in Tbilisi doing Shylock, the idea of putting multiple characters in it became very easy. It was just a question of adapting the narrative into dialogue, which is what I set about doing, and thereby lies another tale in the translation of my text into Georgian, which is an epic in itself. But the idea was taken up immediately by Tumanishvili, the artistic director Keti Dolidze of Tumanishvili, who is quite well known here in Edinburgh. She's done, I think, 15 seasons here, and very successfully. So this was always going to be an interesting collaboration between the talent and the remarkable depth of talent that's with that company and what I do here in Edinburgh. We didn't quite know how artistically they would mesh, you know, whether my approach to putting a production together was going to be different to their approach to putting a production together. As it turned out, they were very, very different.
Who are you?
But we managed to make it work. I think together we managed to pull each other through it. It was touch and go. And it was also touch and go whether we would actually get here financially, because we had some Animal Farm type issues with the Cultural Ministry of Georgia, who just gave us a bit of the runaround. But eventually we got here, and the reviews are coming in thick and fast now, and they're all good, which is great.
So the rumour that was flying around isn't true, that you were just getting a bit bored and too old to play all the parts?
I think, as you know, when I was in deep trouble financially about 2 years ago, I had to put Animal Farm on the road again, and I called it the Saving My Bacon Tour. And of course it did. It pulled me out of that hole. And that's the extraordinary thing about Animal Farm, because it always draws an audience. People know the title and come regardless, which is fantastic. So when you then combine that title with something genuinely interesting like this Georgian theatre company doing Animal Farm, it's an extraordinary amalgam of energy, and I love that. I absolutely love that. And it's also been a very interesting, I mean, you best ask Anna about this, but it's been an interesting combination of approaches, my approach and to manage video approach. One of them is that they generally take a hell of a lot longer than I do to make a show, not just by weeks, I'm talking months.
And so Anna, just in terms of people who don't know Georgia too well, but do know George Orwell, where does George Orwell as an author sit within the kind of wider culture of Georgia?
It's quite a well-known book in Georgia, so many people are aware of George Orwell and his books. So that was not quite quite foreigner or strange for us to do the novel. And of course, we are always mentioning what's interesting for foreign countries and foreign citizens, how the Georgians played because of Stalin and Beria and Soviet Union. That was all happening with us. So, of course, it's much easier for us to understand the problems and to know it, if I can say, by heart, what does it mean, what is written in there, because so we've felt it with our flesh and blood. What's all this depression and the dictators and the governmental rules and all this stuff's means, and because we are in the shifting period of time from the Soviet Union to the independence country, all these troubles us. It troubles so hard that in a case I can say that it was some of us were not quite sure if they wanted to dig in that, because it's too much harmful for us, rather for the other countries, just looking over the situation, because it's all happens, it's in our life, in everyday life. We still have the Ossetia and Samochablo, we call it Samochablo, and Abkhazia problems. So it's quite life, these problems with that. They've never left us, unfortunately, till now.
And are there any other influences, you know, within the Georgian world of literature, other writers like George Orwell, you know, who are native to Georgia?
Like George Orwell, meaning writing the politically open. I would rather mention some Russian authors rather than the Georgians, because in Soviet times they try to hide all these because there was a censory, or how it's in English. Censura, we call it. So because you could not say it loudly about, you could not speak about these issues openly, they were somehow covering these with the different situations, as with the different character, but you could always read out from there what was the real issue. And probably, as myself, I mostly remember the Russian authors rather than the Georgian one.
Can you describe this famous British director in the rehearsal room of Animal Farm?
Poor guy. He was so poor.
That's such a terrible translation. What? I was in trouble. Suffered.
Yeah, but
I suffered.
Well, I myself felt pity for him because... you know, we have a different approaches in making the production. So, unfortunately, as we found, and as Guy found, he wasn't aware of that.
Explain some of those little
So he's lost. He was losing some time on the things that could be solved in another case. What can I say?
Let's just say that Georgian timekeeping is not quite what it is over here.
You know,
a 10 o'clock start time would normally end up being 11, maybe 11:30. And then very often they would get last-minute calls for TV and things like that and just not turn up because, of course, TV takes priority. The wages, of course, compared to Western wages, are terrible. And one doesn't even know how they live, really, to be fair. But they do, and this is their life. They're employed all year round in the theatre company. It's a completely different way of looking at it. And of course, because it doesn't have that commercial imperative as we do over here, you do not cram your rehearsals into 3 weeks because you have to pay every actor £500 a week. They're employed full time, so they will work 4 hours, 5 hours a day, maybe for 4 or 5 months before they decide to get anywhere near the stage.
Guy, this sounds like your worst nightmare.
No, he was too. We were saying he was too sweet because we needed a strict hand, more strict because we. Definitely, we are not used to working to put a production in 4 weeks. It's an absolutely different attitude and needs absolutely different timekeeping and all this stuff. But so he had to be more strict. That's my command. Otherwise, you could not help the situation. And there were 25 persons, all of them personalities, and also family people as well. And so you could deal with it. And one more problem is the translation, of course, because when you deal with the creative kind of work, translation means a lot. To get the correct direction from the director and from the actor to explain exactly what he is meaning by doing what. So we were lost in translation in many cases. And of course, time-wise, it's also because you should repeat all the words that are pronounced from everyone. It took time. And it's not quite a good way.
Because it was so epic with so many actors, all those things took up a lot of time. One of the things which was fascinating was that, and actually became a very good way of communication, was that because I have played the story, I was able to communicate physically a moment, wasn't I? And you were able. That was a shortcut rather than having to have someone try to explain it.
But for example, on behalf of our actors and actresses, I should say that, for example, he thought that he would spend about a week to teach the physical movements to Georgian actors. But on a very first rehearsal, he could see that it's quite easy. It was quite easy for the actors to make the physicality of the characters on a way we were asked to. Because we are not dancers, we are not the comic figures doing much more, probably.
That was wonderfully surprising, actually, and really good. But actually, my time was then taken up fixing a very bloated translation. And this is another thing about the Georgian language is very important, the way they put their sentences together. And, for example, if I was to say, how we have toiled and sweated to get the hay in, they would say, my dear friends, I feel that I have to tell you that we have worked extraordinarily hard to bring the hay in.
Yeah. And so the guy thought that he sent the copy of performance of 25 minutes or 90 minutes, and it finally he found out that we were reading it for 3 hours. Because the language difference, and not only the other thing, and this is the language differences that made it big trouble, because we've lost lots of time just cutting the text.
And it was. And also, eventually I then had to work directly with the principals to bring the text in to say what I wanted them to say with all the subtlety of the script that was necessary. And because it filtered through a translator who then has her desire to say the sentences in her way, we then had to literally rewrite the thing from scratch, and that took 2.5-3 weeks.
I'm just chunking this.
She was on a roll.
Look through the book and find where we could find ourselves in this book. And I thought of all of the characters, but not the Clover, to be honest. Because we've got the elderly people and elderly actresses there, and I thought probably the role is for them, not for the younger actresses like I am. So I never thought of this, and I was surprised when I was chosen to play Clover, which is quite an important character for the play.
While we've got Guy here also, just I want a bit of backstory here, Guy. So from a cast of one to this new version, can you just build us a creative, maybe a commercial bridge there?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been reviewed for my Animal Farm Festival, for Fringe Review, 3 times now, I think, and by 3 different reviewers, and they've loved it. And I think one of the things that has always emerged from those reviews and from generally through the 20 years I've been doing it is that this is actually a multi-cast solo play, and I always envisaged it as being a multi-cast play. So when the idea was raised last year when I was out in Tbilisi doing Shylock, the idea of putting putting multiple characters in it, it became very easy. It was just a question of adapting the narrative into dialogue, which is what I set about doing. And thereby lies another tale in the translation of my text into Georgian, which is which is an epic in itself. But the idea was taken up immediately by Tumanishvili, the artistic director, Keti Dolidze of Tumanishvili, who is quite well known here in Edinburgh. She's done, I think, 15 seasons here, and very successfully. So this was always going to be an interesting collaboration between the talent and the remarkable depth of talent that's with that company and what I do here in Edinburgh. We didn't quite know how artistically they would mesh, you know, whether my approach to putting a production together was going to be different to their approach to putting a production together. As it turned out, they were very, very different. But we managed to make it work. I think together we managed to pull each other through it. It was touch and go. And it was also touch and go whether we would actually get here financially, because we had some Animal Farm type issues with the cultural ministry of Georgia, who just gave us a bit of the runaround. But eventually we got here, and the reviews are coming in thick and fast now, and they're all good, which is great.
So the rumor that was flying around isn't true, that you were just getting a bit bored and too old to play all the parts.
I think, as you know, when I was in deep trouble financially about 2 years ago, I had to put Animal Farm on the road again, and I called it the Saving My Bacon Tour. And of course it did. It pulled me out of that hole. And that's the extraordinary thing about Animal Farm, because it always draws an audience. People know the title and come regardless, which is fantastic. So when you then combine that title with something genuinely interesting like this Georgian theatre company doing Animal Farm, it's an extraordinary amalgam of energy, and I love that. I absolutely love that. And it's also been a very interesting, I mean, you best ask Anna about this, but it's been an interesting combination of approaches, my approach and Tumanishvili approach. One of them is that they generally take a hell of a lot longer than I do to make a show, not just by weeks, I'm talking months.
And so, Anna, just in terms of people who don't know Georgia too well, but do know George Orwell, where does George Orwell as an author sit within the kind of wider culture of Georgia?
It's quite a well-known book in Georgia, so many people are aware of George Orwell and his books. So that was not quite quite foreigner or strange for us to do the novel. And of course, we are always mentioning what's interesting for foreign countries and foreign citizens, how the Georgians played because of Stalin and Beria and Soviet Union. That was all happening with us. So, of course, it's much easier for us to understand the problems and to know it, if I can say, by heart, what does it mean, what is written in there, because so we've felt it with our flesh and blood. What's all this depression and the dictators and the governmental rules and all this stuff's means, and because we are in the shifting period of time from the Soviet Union to the independence country, all these troubles us. It troubles so hard that in a case I can say that it was some of us were not quite sure if they wanted to dig in that, because it's too much harmful for us, rather for the other countries, just looking over the situation, because it's all happens, it's in our life, in everyday life. We still have the Ossetia and Samochablo, we call it Samochablo, and Abkhazia problems. So it's quite life, these problems with us. They've never left us, unfortunately, till now.
And are there any other influences, you know, within the Georgian world of literature, other writers like George Orwell, you know, who are native to Georgia?
Like George Orwell, meaning writing the politically open. I would rather mention some Russian authors rather than the Georgians, because in Soviet times they try to hide all these because there was a censory or how it's in English, censura we call it. So because you could not say it loudly about you can't could not speak about these issues openly, there were some kind of covering these with the different situations as with the different character, but you could always read out from there what was the real issue, and probably as myself I mostly remember the Russian authors rather than the Georgians one.
So can you describe this famous British director in the rehearsal room of Animal Farm?
Poor guy. He was so poor.
That's such a terrible translation. What was that? I was in trouble. Suffered.
Yeah, but
I suffered.
We felt, I myself felt pity for him because... you know, we have a different approaches in making the production. So, unfortunately, as we found and as Guy found, he wasn't aware of that.
Explain so, some of those little things.
So, he's lost. He was losing some time on the things that could be solved in another case. What can I say?
Well, let's just say the Georgian timekeeping is not quite what it is over here.
You know,
a 10 o'clock start time would normally end up being 11, maybe 11:30, and then very often they would get last minute calls for TV and things like that, and just not turn up because, of course, TV takes priority. The wages, of course, compared to Western wages, are terrible. And one doesn't even know how they live, really, to be fair. But they do, and this is their life. They're employed all year round in the theatre company. It's a completely different way of looking at it. And, of course, because it doesn't have that commercial imperative, as we do over here, you do not cram your rehearsals into 3 weeks because you have to pay every actor £500 a week. They're employed full-time, so they will work 4 hours, 5 hours a day, maybe, for 4 or 5 months before they decide to get anywhere near the stage.
Guy, this sounds like your worst nightmare.
No. He was too... We were saying he was too sweet because we needed a strict hand, more strict, because we... Definitely, we are not used to working to put a production in 4 weeks. It's absolutely different attitude and needs absolutely different timekeeping and all this stuff. But so he had to be more strict. My comment. Otherwise, you could not help the situation. And there were 25. Persons, all of them quite personalities, personalias, or how it's yes,
and also family people as well.
And so you could deal with it. And one more problem is the translation, of course, because when you deal with the creative kind of work, translation means a lot. To get the correct direction from the director and from the actor to explain exactly what he is meaning by doing what. So we were lost in translation in many cases. Time-wise, it's also because you should repeat all the words that are pronounced from everyone. It took time. And it's not quite a good way
because it was so epic with so many actors. All those things took up a lot of time. One of the things which was fascinating was that, and actually became a very good way of communication, was that because I had played the story, I was able to communicate physically a moment, wasn't I? And you were able. That was a shortcut rather than having to have someone try to explain it.
But for example, in behalf of our actors and actresses, I should say that, for example, he thought that he would spend about a week to teach the physical movements to Georgian actors. But on the very first rehearsal, he could see that it's quite easy. It was quite easy for the actors to make the physicality of the characters on a way we were asked to. because we are not dancers, we are not the comic figures doing much more, probably.
That was wonderfully surprising, actually, and really good. But actually, my time was then taken up fixing a very bloated translation. And this is another thing about the Georgian language is very important, the way they put their sentences together. And, for example, if I was to say, how we have toiled and sweated to get the hay in, they would say, my dear friends, I feel that I have to tell you that we have worked extraordinarily hard to bring the hay in.
Yeah. And so the guy thought that he sent the copy of performance of 25 minutes or 90 minutes, and it finally he found out that we were reading it for 3 hours. Because the language difference, and not only the other thing, and this is the language differences that made it big trouble, because we've lost lots of time just cutting the text.
And it was. And also, just eventually I then had to work directly with the principals to bring the text in to say what I wanted them to say with all the subtlety of the script that was necessary. And because it filtered through a translator who then has her desire to say the sentences in her way, we then had to literally rewrite the thing from scratch, and that took 2.5-3 weeks.
And another question, Guy, what survived from the solo show?
The structure, I guess, the adaptation, it's pretty much there. What they're saying now is pretty much what I said, but in Georgian. And I can see that there are some wonderful characterizations, and the realization of Clover, Benjamin, Boxer, Squealer in particular, these are very close to how I always saw it. And it's a testament to the way they've worked and the way that we've worked together to bring this play. It is a physical realization of what I was doing, but much more complete. So we no longer have the narrator. That's all done with physicality and movement and choreography and
in between the characters, which you would say without the words. Mm-hmm.
So now, just maybe kind of focusing in on your character, how do you become Clover?
When Guy asked me on the cast, have I ever thought about the Clover? I said no. It's not. Probably it's not for me. Then he asked, could you say a few words about her? And I said that the character reminds me my mother, who was the artistic director of one of the theaters in Georgia province. And she was kind of the character who all her life tried to take care of other people. And she could forget about her family, but give much more to the others who really were in need. So probably from here started my character, or I started to build up my character, and I'm working with the great actors, so it was not difficult to live the, as Guy calls it, live the moments with them regarding the situation we are coming in. I love my character. I was born in the year of horse, probably it means something. But there are no other years of queens or Lady Macbeth or whatever. But I hope I will play these roles too. I love it. It was a joy to work with Guy. For me, it was easier because I could understood the language, so it was much easier to communicate. And so what we've done, I'm so happy, even though we are the cast, the permanent cast, we very rarely do the performances with 23, 24 people at the same time. And it was a great experience working with the elder actors and with the new generation. And it's a beautiful experience. And it's the other story of what's happening now in Edinburgh. Because I'm so surprised and so delighted that we've got an audience each day, and how they take it with their applauses after the show, I feel quite happy for that.
And Guy, I mean, you partly answered this already, but there are certain advantages then to work with a cast who don't understand what you're saying.
I can say absolutely flatly no, it was not an advantage. It took far too much time. The joy was that, I mean, we absolutely had a way of communicating, and they were very generous to me, very warm, and they respected me hugely as a performer. So we knew that we were talking the same language. It was just a question of how that was communicated. The main difficulty that we faced was the difference in our approach here in Britain, which is a very commercial, swift, no-nonsense approach to rehearsals, and their much more laid-back, family-type approach.
But I get a sense, whether you see it, don't see it because it might be in front of your nose, is that you had to work harder and suffer a bit to communicate, and that might have brought something to the production.
Absolutely, I worked extraordinarily hard, harder than I think I've ever done on a production, because I literally had to listen to myself speak, and what is it that I'm saying, what is it that I'm trying to communicate, and but that said, you know, I always expected to work hard, and I always do work hard, so that's not really the issue. If I were to direct a big company now in Georgia, I would approach it in an entirely different way. I would do it in three trips. One, to make sure the script is on time, is fixed. One, I would then go out and work physically with the actors, and then I'd go out and direct it in three different tranches of maybe 2-3 weeks at a time. Mm. But that said, knowing where the production was last Monday and knowing where it is now, it is a completely different world.
Yeah, that's why I'd like to apologize for the first 2 or 3 days, because there were lots of people lots of things to be fixed, because Guy left us a month ago and we were without him, of course, rehearsing, but we needed a director, of course. So now, as Guy tells us, now it's fixed. And we're doing our best, and we're enjoying the Edinburgh audience. So thanks, Guy, and thanks, Katie, and Zura, and everyone who managed to bring us here.
But also, you know, here in the reviewing side, we have a challenge. It's a paradox for us, really, in wanting to see the work at its best and review it. This is why I don't come and see shows until they're bedded in. Mm. Because Edinburgh, with all its show after show after show and short get-ins, it's very brutal, isn't it? If it was a house, it's not very welcoming.
No, it's awfully brutal. And, you know, Edinburgh loves its world premieres, and yet it's not very tolerant of the fact that shows aren't ready when they first come up. And, you know, particularly with solo shows, and I've got a few up this year, it's very difficult for an actor to understand how a solo piece works when they haven't performed it in front of an audience. So, you know, that's difficult. With this particular company and with this particular process, I left the show the night after our first performance in front of an audience, where the show ran 20 minutes too long. So we knew the show had to be cut, but it had to be cut in absentia. So it was cut without my knowledge. So when I came, when we arrived in Edinburgh, I saw the show cut for the first time. Some of the cuts didn't work. Some of the cuts did work. But our main thing was getting that show in front of an audience within a day. And that was very hard. But as I say, it's a tribute to everybody involved that we did it. Really.
We were just rehearsing on the fields in the park, and so it was really funny because we never managed to have any other time for rehearsing, and we were just making the animal noises in front of the children and people walking by. But I think I just trust Guy saying that we are there, well, almost there, what he wanted to achieve with us. So,
well, when I say you're there, you're where I wanted to be before I left Tbilisi, I think. And, you know, the show will settle now in the next week into something really deep. And mainly that the actors now can stop thinking and start living. And that's what I always wanted, for these wonderful Georgians to experience what Animal Farm is doing to them. Mm-hmm. And then relate that back to their own experience of what's happened to them. And that's what we're going to feel, the depth of that experience. Mm. And you know, with the Russian invasion of Ossetia and Abkhazia, and just the recent history of transferring from communism into capitalism, you know, all of this will come to bear in the next few days, I think.
Final question to both of you, and it's kind of almost like a life coach type question, but this is for both of you personally. So Anna first, what have you learned from Guy that's been most significant from you?
Patience.
Yeah. Patience. How patient a person can be. What I've learned? I just can say how I felt at the rehearsals and how I feel with the performance. Probably that's the what comes from the collaboration of the actor of the actress and the director. That was the trust that came at the very first on the very first rehearsal with Guy, because I was sure that he was interested in each of us, and he was ready to give all his energy to each of the actors. So I myself personally gained the confidence of doing as much as I could do. So he will guide me in with this character. And whatever, I'm learning much more here with him. To be honest, because I saw him as a performer here also, and I'm very thankful for everything what he does with us, with the whole company, and how he supports the performers, because he has six more for this festival, but he's so generous coming on each performance and giving every day in the morning we have the notes, and this I've never experienced playing the performance every day, and it's I don't know, I just live in a kind of artistic city or artistic situation, that's conditions that are surrounds me, and that's all, and these all come from Guy.
What have you learned, Guy?
I have learned about the dedication of these people to the art that they do, that they live for. That's what they do. That if anybody can call themselves artists, it's these people. I do not live that life. I mean, I suppose my whole life is wrapped around the art. I don't consider myself an artist. Was when I look at these people, and that's what they do. That's what they are, and I envy that in a way. I envy that beauty of the simplicity of that thinking. And I wish that I could immerse myself in that way sometimes, and then be able to survive to do it.
Well, just as he'd saved his bacon, Guy Masterton's back with six shows, one with a cast of 32. So both of you, thank you very much.
Thank you.